Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can go where it says I can go. And I can learn what it says I can learn. In Jesus' name, amen. Colossians chapter 1, and I've worked on this for a while, and trying to get the order of how the Lord wanted me to present it. And so I believe we're going to start with verse 15, and really it focuses on Him and who He is. And it says in Colossians 1, verse 15, talking about Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God. Remember Jesus when He came, when he was telling His disciples, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. Because they said, just show us the Father. And He said, if you've seen Me, you have seen the Father. And that's why we call Him God in the flesh, God the Son. It says He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. All other gods are still in the graveyard that people seek after and look after and follow. Last night, how many watched the Ten Commandments again? I thought, isn't that awesome how that can sustain for all these years? Janet said, I'm not sure, but I believe the first time I saw it, it may have been black and white. And I thought, it's the power of God, isn't it, when a movie that has that kind of content can stay on primetime television throughout the United States of America. But she said, I never focused on that one line that Pharaoh says at the very end when he and his wife are just, they're stripped of everything, their son, their, you know, everything is gone, basically, their pride. God has humbled them, she said, you couldn't even kill Moses, and he said, Moses' God is God. And I told Jan, I said, here's what I got out of the movie. As we get older, I think we get different things. I said, I never thought about it, but what if you were an Egyptian watching the movie? Or what if America had enslaved his children? And we would have watched our president be humbled and watched our crops be killed and our animals. It'd be a different story, wouldn't it? But he says, you know what? I'm the invisible God, first of all creation. Everything belongs to Him. And really what I got from the movie one more time last night was He is God. He has final authority over everything. And it saddens my heart when I hear people that can't see God or don't believe in God because of all the goodness and all the things that we enjoy here on this planet. How He hung the sun on nothing and said, burn until further orders. And He gave us air to breathe and food to sustain us. It says, for by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, all things. That's me and you. That's everybody that you love, and it's everybody that you don't love. The people that you can't stand, God created them. Philip and I were talking this morning. He said, it's amazing how the media has taken gay rights and thrust them to the forefront and kind of made them so visible. And I said, you know what, I agree with that. I said, but I think another thing that has made them so militant and so forthright is Christians not loving them the way we should. Come on, this is Holy Week. We're going to talk about stuff. I said, he said, love your neighbor. He didn't say whatever their sexual preference was or whatever their background was or their history. How many's got some history in this house that you said, I hope they don't dig up my history and then decide if they won't love me or not? And maybe you got it all hidden so it'd have to come from the throne. But how many knows nothing is hidden from the throne of God? All of our history, every idle word, the Bible says, we will give an account when we stand before God. So it's all written down. And how many would just say, I had just assumed that Jesus didn't reveal my history, all of it, to everybody. And then decide if you love me or not. He's created everything, every person. We're called to love them. That's why He had a group around Him everywhere He went, is because He loved people right where they were. He would touch people right where they were. Whether it's thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things. Every country, every leader, every dictator, they're there because he allowed it, or they would not be there. How many know Saddam Hussein thought he was pretty invincible, and he would bring out his gun and shoot it in the air, and he would kill all the people he wanted to kill until one day God said, it's enough. You may blame George Bush, but you know what? I think God said, it is enough. It's enough. So everything, every principality, power, all things were created through him and for him. That's who we're talking about today. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. All things consist. Do you know that person that you don't love? Brought to you by Jesus Christ. I've heard people say, I don't know why I moved here by this particular neighbor. Well, God just says, here's your gift. This is going to grow you. It'll teach you to pray. It'll teach you how to be humble. It'll teach you how to love people that aren't too lovable. You're welcome. Why did he put people in my life that I don't love? Yesterday we had an intense moment. The prize eggs were missing. The eggs with money in our own family and just a small gathering yesterday were missing. And we think, and then somebody said, I hope somebody didn't take them. That's a kind of an intense moment at family time. And the reason it's even brought up is because we have family that, you know, they're addicts. And addicts will take stuff to get more stuff. And luckily we found they had just been misplaced. Thank you, Lord. But I thought, you know, we plant bad seeds and wonder why we have to reap such tension and conflict and all the things that we do. But he says, and all things consist through him. Verse 18, and he is the head of the body of the church. He is the head of the body of the church. You are the church. Jesus is coming back after the church. Had a guy tell me the other day, he said, I don't go to church, too many hypocrites. I said, yeah, we have our share. I said, but do you still go to the restaurant? You know, there's a lot of hypocrites down at the restaurant. You still go to the movie? There's a lot of hypocrites down at the movie. I wouldn't go there. I said, it's a sad day when a hypocrite has more than a Christian and keep you out of your seat. I said, so I'm just letting you know that doesn't fly with me. He said, I can see that it doesn't. I said, there was hypocrites when Jesus was in church. He talked about them. He faced them. He talked pretty gruff to them, actually. I said, there'll be hypocrites when he comes back to get his body, the church. They'll still be hypocrites. But you know what? When good people don't go to church because hypocrites are in the church, you know what? Shame on you if you don't have more than a hypocrite has. He says he's the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence in all things. That song, he's relentless. He wants all of your heart. He wants all of your heart. I thought, Brittany, a while ago, I thought, you must be proud of your brother. Didn't he do a good job? He's awesome, isn't he? For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. All the fullness. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Listen to me. If you're here today as a Christian and you're not living an abundant life, you are living way below your privileges. You need to go to your bank account and make a withdrawal and start living abundant life. And honor your Father. Honor the death of Jesus Christ by living abundant life. Sometimes it's hard to tell a Christian from a non-Christian. I read a little deal the other day, and a magazine said, a dad said, I would take a bullet for my children at times. Said, I'm just tired of them hearing them whine all the time. Just take, beam me up, Jesus, you know. A terrible testimony, isn't it? Verse 20, and by him to reconcile all things. Did you hear that? To reconcile all things to himself. We should be reconciled and to him and in every form or fashion, in every area of our life, to be reconciled to him. We all struggle with different things, by the way, but we all have Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. He's come to reconcile us. And so we shouldn't stay there. We'll all have trials and tribulation, but we shouldn't stay there. We shouldn't stay there. There's people, and I don't care who you are and how hard you try, there's always going to be people. Philip was talking about they were people mad at the new pope because he was washing feet in a juvenile detention center. They're just going to, that's people. They're just going to be mad at you no matter what you do. You know, Jesus washed people's feet, and I think it's an honorable thing, but some people, they say, was upset about the pope evidently washing. And I saw it on TV the other day, and he was kissing one of the criminals' feet. I thought, that's pretty humble. It says, by whether things on earth, now watch, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of what? His cross. Let's read again, verse 20. And by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. So we don't see all the things in the heavenlies, but he's Lord over the heavens as well. I think he still has angels on mission. We may not hear it because we try to fix our own problems here in America. We've got enough stuff. We don't have to really rely on him like some countries have to. But I think he still has angels on mission, and he still has, there's still spiritual wickedness in high places, and there's all kinds of battles. But it says that he has the preeminence over all of that. Over all that. I heard an old minister say one time, and I never forgot it. I thought it was so powerful. He said, nothing has happened to you today except has first been sifted through the fingers of God. Now, that may aggravate some of you. Say, well, if God allowed this, well, then you know what? If he doesn't allow it, it won't happen to you. Now, he may not cause it, but he will allow things to happen to us. You see good people having bad things happen to them all the time. We're not exempt from bad things. Jesus, you know, we read about people that went through all kinds of things in the Bible and came out on the other side because of their faith. That's what faith is. It's not that you don't have anything to go through. It means you have faith to go through whatever it is. And God will help you to achieve that. Verse 21, and you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled. He is reconciled. Listen, one of the greatest things I think about being a Christian, accepting Christ and giving our hearts to him is he opens our eyes to things that the lost will never see. I'm so grateful for what I see and how I see things. Used to, when we were growing up, it was, you know, if you offended one of our family members, we were pretty much all offended at you. And I grew up in a Christian home, but I guess we never got that far. And as I searched in the Word, and I found that in there, it says, you know, you have to love your enemies and pray for them and do good and all this. And I thought, man, that's powerful stuff. And so I started practicing that, and because he said, you know what, I'm opening your eyes now, and he'll open your eyes to greater truths if you'll abide by the ones he gives you. And so I began to practice that and say, and I didn't feel it, by the way, the first few times I forgave someone and that had mistreated me, but I spoke blessing over them and I forgave them with all that I had. And in a few months I realized all that stuff had just fell off and I really could pray blessing on them, and I really didn't. They didn't have me in cage in prison anymore. Some of you may be here today that have unforgiveness and you're trying to struggle through it. You may think I'm not forgiving them. And let me tell you what I found out. My eyes were open to the fact that, you know what? Forgiveness is not about those that hurt you. Forgiveness is about you. It's about how it made me feel. It freed me. I was free from my prison of you know, if they came around me, I'm happy unless they come around. Huh? This is a good day. Oh, there they are. They got control over you. And so, listen, that's he opened my eyes into stuff like that that's made me have abundant life. I've come, he said, that you might have life and that you might have abundant life. And I said, well, all righty then, that sounds good to me. In the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. That's why he died. That's why he is interceding for us right now at the throne of God, is because it's for you. It's to present you and me. Heard a story on the radio years ago, and the guy was standing at the doors of heaven. He said, "Why should we let you in?" And he said, "Well, I did good deeds, and I was always trying to work hard." And he said, "You know," and it just didn't fly. And finally, the guy that came up, he said, "I'm with Jesus. Let me in." And he says, "Come on in." And that's what we are. When we've accepted Christ and we've yielded to His word, we become His children. We become heirs and joint heirs of heaven. We become citizens of another world. Verse 23, "If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister." Listen, Jesus said, "I will make you." He told his disciples, "Come within, I'll make you fishers of men." Every person that comes a Christian, every person that accepts the finished work of Jesus Christ, he says, "When you come, I want to make you something." You know, whatever it is, and what he will make you is really what you were ordained or created to do on this planet. God has that. He has your records before you were born. He fashioned you and shaped you. And now he says, "I'm going to release you and I'm going to help you know what it is that you were created to do." And some of you sing or play. And by the way, you know, all those up here today, they have jobs, and this is not what they do for a living. This is what they do for ministry. This is what they do for God. This is what they do. And their living, they make banking or selling furniture or whatever it is. You know, leading, that's what they do. And sometimes we have a hard time separating that. But I believe all of them up here doing this, that's their calling. That's their gifts. And they're just using their gifts. And it helps them identify who they are. And aren't you glad they said yes? They said yes. And we get to enjoy it every Sunday. Yes. Now, we're going to back up in that same chapter. And by the way, I'll say a little prayer that he said over the Colossians. But he said, you know, in verse 2, he called them the saints and the faithful brethren in Christ. So he's preaching to people. He said, "I've heard good stuff about you." But let's start in verse 12. And before that, there's a little prayer, and we'll go over that as we close. But he says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. Listen, you've been qualified. And here's something that really is God has been placing in my heart. You have been qualified to be partakers of the inheritance, it says, of the saints, of the saints. If you look that up, it's talking about holy, the most holy thing. And so, you know, of the priests, they say some of them make sainthood because they've seen miracles or this or that. But I think it's much less than that. I think when you come to Christ and you follow God with all your heart, I think you become a saint. Some of you thinking a saint I ain't, all right? But I'm telling you, when you follow Christ with all of your heart, after you've received Him and He's washed you clean, remember, it's not your righteousness. Your righteousness is a filthy rag. But He said, when you're following Him with all your heart, it's kind of like your kids. You know they're not little saints, right? But when they're following you and they're clicking and they're hitting and they're doing everything you tell them, don't they feel kind of like a little saint? And you pray, "God, help them stay there. Please, Lord, help them stay there." But they don't, do they? But when they do, that's kind of how they feel. And I think that's the way God is. We all struggle with certain parts of keeping His commandments. But you know what? He says we're part of this. He qualified us. And it's really important for you to know that because of the cross, He qualified us. You cannot qualify yourself. He qualified you. He made you be able to have this inheritance. And then in verse 13, He has delivered us. Everybody say, "Thank you, Lord, for deliverance." Man, hasn't He delivered you from some stuff, just junk? Aren't you glad that God delivered you from stuff? I talked to a young man a few weeks ago. We were going home on Wednesday night, and he's one of our relatives, and he's done really well in business, he and his wife. But when he called, I could tell, you know, he needed some deliverance. And it wasn't from demons, it was from himself. But he began to say how he's, you know, when he was in his 20s, and now he's probably around 40, and he said, you know, I borrowed $1.2 million, and I've just about got everything paid off, and I'm doing really well, and I'd like to leave my kids about $3 or $4 million. And he said, but I've been hateful to my family, and I'm not happy. And he said, I don't know, and I knew I needed to talk to you. Whenever I've come to your church, he said, I feel like I'm walking on clouds and all this, you know. And so I knew I needed to get to you. He never has got to me, you know, needed to give me any of his riches, but he needed my help. And he said, and then so he starts over again. You know, when I was young and I thought, and I about got this money paid off, this all this land, all this stuff paid off. I said, well, how's that working for you? I said, can I tell you the truth? He said, I knew you'd tell me the truth. That's why I called you. I said, you remind me of the rich young ruler in the Bible that you got a lot of stuff. But guess what? He didn't have stuff. Stuff had him. And that's where you're at. Because he's talking about buying another section of land. He's talking about buying, you know, more stuff and more time away from his family and more. I said, you know, it sounds like to me you're on a crash course to lose your family and have all your stuff. That's what it sounds like to me. I said, and here's something else I'll give you that's the truth. I said, the last couple of times we've been around you, you're arrogant. I mean, you know, that's good preaching there. Bible said the truth will set you free. And I said, and he said, no. He said, really, I'm not. He said, everybody around me up here says I am, but really, I'm not. And I said, no, you are. I'm telling you, you can't see beyond your nose. You're blinded, and you're arrogant. And I'm telling you, you are. And you need to change. You're going to lose your family and all your friends. You'll have all your stuff, and you won't know what to do. You know, we had a longer conversation, and I checked on him the next day. I thought, those are hard words. But, you know, the truth shall set you free. And he said, I'm better. And he said, thank you for being honest. You know, if you be honest with people that need the truth, you know what? They know, and they'll accept it. Maybe they may not even thank you for it, but they'll, if it's a truth, you can say it. And they need to hear the truth. He's delivered us. He's delivered us from the powers of darkness, from this blindness that we have. That's what I'm talking about. I love what I can see now that I couldn't see when I was a sinner. Before I yielded myself as he relentlessly followed me and said, I want all of your heart, Jack. I don't want part of it. You can't stay over there and be happy. And so to give that up. And watch this. And has conveyed, some translation says conferred us or transferred us into the kingdom. And by the way, I wrote it down. It's the kingdom there, it says the right, and it doesn't mean like the kingdom where he is, a place. But here's what it means, and I was so excited. Listen to this, saints. It says on the kingdom, it's the right or authority to rule over kingdom of the royal power of Jesus as the triumph Messiah. The royal power and dignity conferred on Christians in the Messiah kingdom. In other words, it's not talking about a place, it's talking about a position. I have transferred or conferred this power and authority over to you as Christians so you can live the way you want to live. Power of choice. You see people making poor choices all the time. Listen, if you'll sell out to Christ, you'll quit making poor choices. You won't always be right, but you'll quit making poor choices. There's a book I told you about not long ago. The One-Minute Manager Meets the Monkey. Great book. For all of you that try to take on everybody's problems, you need to run out and buy that book. And then send me $100 later on. You'll thank me. That's the best way to thank me. Just send me $100. I love $100 bills, you know. I'm just kidding. You'll want to, though, if you had 100. You'll want. I'm telling you, it's freeing. You know, somebody putting the monkey on you, because you're always carrying somebody's stuff, you know, and you're always getting involved. And all, you just, some of you need to learn. You know, you're not helping them. You're just aiding them to continue on in their mess. But it's a great book, and that's what he said. You know, he's delivered us, man, from this darkness, and he's put this authority, this kingdom, he's given it to us so we can make right choices and we can live according to his will. How many knows we call the Old Testament the law? They talked about the law last night. I read a story about a said in the United States, we have requirements for if you're a mother and you have a child, and of course dads too, but it was relating to the moms that have the ability to birth children. So we have laws that require you, mom, to take certain care of your children. It says the social worker came to a young mother's house, and she says to the young mother, she said, "I'm here to see if you are doing what the law requires as a mother to your baby." And the young mother looked at her as she is cradling and hugging and loving her baby, and she said, "I don't need the law to tell me how to take care of my kid." I mean, moms say, "I understand that." If you're a good mom, you understand that. You don't need the law to tell you how to take care of your children. Let me tell you something. If you fall in love, and if I fall in love with Jesus Christ, we can throw the law away. The only reason we might need it is just to know what to do when we don't know exactly how He feels about it. But when we fall in love with Jesus, man, we don't have to worry about the law. The law has no power on us. We're operating now in love. I forgive people today because I love Jesus and I love how it's helped me and what He's done for me. And today I can, you know, and by the way, you think, well, you're a pastor and probably nobody ever says anything negative to you. Ha, 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 ha. I'm not a doting pastor. If you're looking for a church that the pastor dotes over you, this ain't the place. But if you're looking for a place for a pastor to love you, and if you ask for his help, we'll give it to you if you can, then you're probably at the right place. But I'm not going to try to fix you or dote on you, and I don't want you to dote on me. I want you to love me. We'll share life together. You need to come talk, just come talk. I love to talk. That's part of my strength. It's helping people get back on the path they should be on and see what the Word says about it. But, you know, people just, they're going to shoot you every once in a while with words and whatever else. I was called a male chauvinist pig one time by one of our congregants. Didn't even sign the letter. She didn't have to. I knew who it was. You could tell by her countenance. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption. We have redemption. We've been redeemed. Everybody's saying, "I've been set free." Look over at your neighbor and say, "I have been set free." We've been set free, church. We have redemption through His blood. We're talking about the cross today and the forgiveness of sins. He's redeemed me. You can go up in heaven and dig through my records and there's no past of all that junk I've done because I've been redeemed and my record is clear today because of what Jesus did for me. And so I don't have to repent to you. I don't have to repent to anybody else or devil or anyone else because He has cleansed me from all unrighteousness. Now, if I've offended you, I will repent. And if you come and say you've offended me or you've hurt me and we'll talk about it, I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying if you want to dig up my past and point at me in my past, you can forget it because it's under the blood. He's redeemed me. That's why we should have abundant life. I read a cute story. Said a dad would take his children out, and the wife and the little boy and girl, and they'd take them out every Saturday out to some kind of a little fun day on Saturdays to a movie or a ball game or something, and they would come home, and then they would build a nice fire in their fireplace, and they would always cook popcorn, you know, and have popcorn and for the family, and little Billy had messed up and just was really a brat that day, and his dad, when they got home, said, "Billy, just go to your room. This is your punishment tonight." And he went to his room, and he's in there by himself, and the family are out, and they're building the fire, and the popcorn is cooking, and the aroma's filling the building. They sit down, and they start to eat, and Dad walks into Billy's room and says, "Billy, you may go out and eat popcorn and enjoy the fire and the family, and I will come in your room and finish the rest of your punishment." I thought, wow. That's what Jesus did for me. He said, "Jack, you hadn't been so good today. But you go and have life and have it more abundantly. I'm going to take your punishment. I deserved hell and death. And he said, but I'll take that for you. And go out and have abundant life. That's a good deal. That's a good deal. You don't have to be very smart to take that deal. Now, I'm going to try to keep His commandments all I can because I love Him. Not because He did that for me. I love Him because He loved me so much and gave us so much. And so I'm just going to try with all my heart just to love Him because He's redeemed me and He's forgiven me and He's blessed me and He's given us a good life. And a great family and a great church family. And so I'm just going to love Him and live a life. Listen, you want to be a blessing to Jesus? Just go live your life and follow Him and love Him. And if His commandment says do this or don't, just do it. And do it because you love Him. And you'll just fall into abundant life and see what it's all about. We're all going to have little stresses and things that we have to go through. But you know what? He'll see us through. He'll see us through. Now we're going to back up and we'll close with this. Look, in we're still in in Colossians chapter 1. Verse 9, he says, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, we do not cease to pray for you and to ask. And here's what I want to pray over you right now, what Paul prayed over the Colossians church. I want to pray that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Church, I want to pray over you that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom. And he says, I need some of that wisdom. My goodness. And spiritual understanding, God grant that in the name of Jesus. Grant this congregation, every person in this building, the knowledge of your will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And also pray that you may walk worthy of the Lord. So well, how do you do that, Pastor? You just read the Word and walk in the Word. That's all. If you tried it and it failed, well, try it again. If you ever had a bad meal and you didn't quit, did you? Did you go to another meal and try another one? Come on now. Had a bad experience at church. I'll just quit. What, I'm just quit everything else you have a bad experience at? Have a bad experience at the bank? Don't go back. Bad experience at the restaurant? Don't go back. Bad experience at the mall? Don't go back. That you walk worthy of the Lord. I pray that you'll be fully pleasing, that I'll be fully pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. Pray that you'll be fruitful in every good work. And I pray that the increasing of the knowledge of God. I pray God will strengthen you with all might according to His glorious power. I pray that God will strengthen you with all His might according to His glorious power. For all patience and long suffering with joy. And I pray a double blessing in that area for me because of my patience. And if you have trouble with patience, I pray a double blessing over you. For all you passive people, I pray that you will have less patience and be a little more alive. With long suffering and joy. In Jesus' name. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for showing us who Jesus is, and thank you for showing us who we are in Christ. Thank you for reminding us today that everything you did for us. The cross, the life as a human, all the suffering you suffered here. Thank you for taking our place and going to our room and finishing our punishment. Thank you. And Lord, I pray today if there's one in this building that says, well, I just, you know, maybe they used to know you and they've strayed or they've never known you. I pray that you'd open the eyes of their understanding. I know that's your will because you said it's not your will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so today I just ask that you would just show them your love and your light. And that we will show them love and light wherever they are. That's what you called us to do, to love God and love our neighbor. And just rule the earth. Sometimes we think it's much more, but it's pretty simple. He said, everything hangs on those two commandments. So help us to be like you, just loving people, loving God, and loving ourselves. You've given us authority. We read in your scripture today that you've given us the kingdom authority to be able to do that, to live a life of love and peace, hope and happiness. If we'll take your yoke and learn of you, you said we can achieve that. So I just pray for us today that you'll help us to do that through your wisdom and knowledge and understanding of who you are. Thank you, Lord. Now, Lord, we ask that you would bless our fellowship and our food. It's about to be served. We give you praise and glory and honor for both the food and the fellowship. Bless our time together. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.